Okay, so so we're going to talk about today is schar tircha in case of iska, what's often called schar amala. The basic background is as follows: when you have an iska, which just to remind ourselves, I put the Gemara in Andaf Kuvdalid, an iska which is palga milva palga pikadon, right, which is chatzi milva chatzi pikadon, which is where one person provides the capital, and the second person invests. Half of the capital becomes defined as a pikadon, which must be returned in full to the investor, and half of it is defined as a half of it is defined as a halva'a, which needs to be returned in full. Half of it is defined as a pikadon, which is subject to loss and gain as the investment will succeed or fail. So the Gemara in number one had introduced this concept. Whenever we have this iska arrangement, we mean palga milva palga pikadon. Now, Avod Rabban and Milsa denichele lelova venichele lemalva. Chazal made this. They made this arrangement, which is good for both sides. Hashded Amrin palga milva iboy lemishde beishechar shapir dami. So the first position of the Gemara is that the half of it, which is defined as a halva'a, is a true halva'a, and therefore the active party, not the investor, but the person who's actually managing the investment, can do whatever he wants with the half that's halva, but the Gemara rejects that. And Rava Amar, no, lahachi karu le iska, this is why it's called an iska. The Amar like, yaivna lach lasuke bevelo mishte beishichra. It's called an investment because the 100% of it was given as an investment. Even though it's true that halachically reviewing half of it as halva, half of it as a pikadon is all an investment, and therefore it cannot be used for personal needs. It has to be used for the business venture that was agreed upon. And Amar Avidi Baravin, V'imeis Nasa Metaltlan Esal Banav, if he dies, so then it goes as Metaltlan to his children. Rav Amar Lach Galar Iska, V'imeis Lo Yasa Metaltlan Esal Banav. Rav said, no, that's not true. That's why it's an investment. This is not something he actually owns. This is an investment. It doesn't get passed on. Fine. Now, just a bit of background to remind ourselves. So when we say that in Iska is Chatzi Milva Chatzi Bikadon, do we really mean that or not? So if you look at number three, I'll do this in opposite order that I had it here. If you look, for example, the Tshuvas Maimonios and others, they believe that, in fact, a chatzi milva chatzi bikadon is exactly what it sounds like. And therefore, he says, with sof davar nira li de pasha de shmita mishamet des palga milve. The afagav danosin lo boy shetziena viyichlos alagamrei aval suke be ukshiyikne bahem schara as chafes shetiyas schara asher kanim yuchedet lo tachte amavikach ve mamish keruven shem aval shimon al mashkon. The Tshuvas Maimonios said the half of it that's a pikadon shmita can't wipe it away because it's a pikadon, it's not a halva, it's not a milva. But the half of it that's a milva is a milva. I don't care that we've limited what you can do with the money. In the end of the day, the half of it that's halva is a halva, and that's the end of the story. But the Radbaz says, no, it's not true. We look at number two. He says, no, mistaber de nashvi is mishametes ha'iska klal. Shmita can't get rid even of the half of it, which is a milve. Dikushta de milsa lav milvehi. The whole thing isn't a milva. This is a game. Oh, not a game. It's a takana. El rabbanon asau palga milva palga bikadon de tavel travayu. The takana is that it should be treated as if it's half milva and half bikadon. Of a lolei nintishmentenu shviyas. It's not a real alva, such that even the half, which is a milva, quote unquote, will be considered a wiped away by shmita. Of a lolei nishitasam etaltlein abana. Veinishigovuk subasam neiska. Velo balchov es a chov. And all the implications of that. So that we have to keep that in mind as we go into the sugya, is that an iska is chatzi milva chatzi bikadon, but it may or may not be a real halva'a at all, and that's going to be important, so we just have to keep that in mind. Now, what the Gemara then introduced, the Mishnah really already introduces in number four, and I gave you the whole Gemara, we're not going to read all of it inside, but I gave it to you, is the following principle. Because in this case, so let's just take names, right? Let's say I'm the wealthy investor here and Jay is the one who is managing it. Great. So I hope you're good at this. What are you majoring in?
Computer science.
Okay, I picked the wrong person. Oh, well, anyways, it's not the point. So what? So I give him $1,000 to invest. 500 will be a pikadon, 500 will be a halva. That means the 500 that is the halva he has to give back to me no matter what happens to this investment. The 500 that is the pikadon, it depends, right? If it goes up in value, so then we split the profit, right? So if the entire investment goes up to $1,100, so that means that there was $100 of profit, of which 50 can be ascribed to the pikadon component of it, which means 50% of that will be given to me. So I'll walk away with my 500 from the, right, my 500 from the halva, right, plus from the pikadon, but Jay will get the 25, will get 75 on the investment, and I'll get 25. Did I get that math right? I think I got that right. Right? $100 profit, $50 ascribed to Alva, that goes totally to the Jay, $50 on the Picadon, and since the Picadon, right, will split, no, sorry, the Picadon goes completely to me. Yes. The Picadon, no, I got it wrong. Picadon goes completely to me, 50 will go to Jay because of the Alva, and 50 will go to me. Right? That is 50-50, not 50, not 25, 75, that's what we'll come back to, right? 50-50, right? Everything that was on the halva is his because he was borrowing the money from me. As long as he pays back the money, any money he made is his. The pikadon, it's my money that made it, so I get 50, he gets 50. The problem is, if we divide it as such, then what really happened was that Jay worked for me as my stockbroker, invested my money, and got paid nothing for his work. And that, on a derabanan level, presumably, is ribis. Because why is Jay agreeing to be my stockbroker for free? Because I lent him the $500 in this investment that is the halva. So he invested the half, which is my pikadon, for free because I was also the malva. I'd given him the money. And the Gemara says that can't be. And therefore, in addition to all this, in order to make it work, I need to give some extra money to Jay. I need to divide that profit, not 50-50. I need to give him something in order to make it that I'm not getting the benefit of his work for free simply because I happen to be the one who lent him money. So that is the very extensive sugya from Samach Ches, Amud Aleph, to really Samach Tesam Beis to the, you know, I just put Zil Samach Tesam and Aleph, but in different versions, it keeps going and going. And the basic argument in the Gemara is, well, how do you actually work this out? How much do I have to give to Jay in order to solve this potential of Avak Ribis problem? All right, so just to look at some of the Gemara here, the Mishnah starts, and it says, Ein moshivin chen v'nei l'machtes, schar v'luitin mos likach ben peres l'machtes, schar, elo emkein nozin lo scharo kipoel. Right, and all these, it brings a million different cases, right, Ein moshivin tarnagolin l'machtes, Ein moshivin agala, right, all different types of investments like this. In any case, we can't just split it 50-50. I need to pay something. I need to pay schar malo, mazono, etc. So if you go to the Gemara says, how much do I have to pay Jay? So possibility one is Tana Kipoel Batel. Possibility one is I need to pay him as a Poel Batel. What is a Poel Batel? My Kipoel Batel. So I'm Rabbi Kipoel Batel Shosa Malacha de Batel Mine. I have to pay him like a Poel Batel from that work. Now what does that even mean? So there are three positions in Rishonim. I'm gonna jump around a little bit here because I just put all the Gemara in the front. I'm changing my mind in order here. But if you skip to 17, where I just gave you the Shach's summary of it, what? A little bit, a shtickle, yeah, okay. The Gemara said, what is Kippol Batel? There's three deos in Rishonim. There's really four deos, but I just gave you the three in the Shach. He says, local scharo rolin adam shabatel ve'ein lo shum malacha kama yerot alikach lis asek bazeh isek vafilum hayelo malacha shenosin ala schar tovim is batel mena ein omdim kama ze hayerot alikach li batel malach lis asek bazeh isek shal lokech ala harbe el omdim adam batel kidepeir shatur. Possibility one is you pay, it's how much would you pay somebody who had no work, right? Meaning someone who just couldn't find a job, right? So he's desperate for work. How much would he pay? Now, in a Hanami, to be a stockbroker, that's a good salary. But if you don't make the person pay the full salary of a stockbroker, you make him pay, you know, you go over to someone who has no job, he's unemployed, he's, I don't know, he's homeless, he's really, really desperate, and you say, how much money, do I need to pay you to get you to do any job? right? And the guy tells you, look, this is how much money I need to live. Whatever job you give me, as long as I can survive, I'll take it. That's what you have to pay, right? So whatever that is, minimum wage or living wage or whatever it'll be, that's what you pay. That's possibility one. That's the position of the tour. V'chein das yish poskim beis Yosef mefarish to omnim kama rotza litol pol echad kidei libatam imalachto legamre ben shenosim lomalacha kala ukveida shiru shavet. The Beis Yosef says differently, and he says, no, the amount of scharo kepoel batel is, you figure out how much is the person willing to take, the difference between how much he'd be willing to take to not work at all, or to work for an easy, right, for an easier job, right? Meaning, it's how much would, how do I even explain this? What's, if I said I'll pay you not to work at all, right, just to hang around, versus I'll pay you to do a job, what's the difference between those? How exactly you quantify that, I'm not totally sure, but whatever it is, the Bach, then the third position is Vyesh Boskim Mefarshim Shay Osam Mitchila Malach Gvedo Marviach Baharbe Vizui Kala Omnaganiach Mishkar Lasam Malach Azu. The third possibility is, let's say someone has a very difficult but high paying job, and you offer him an easy job at a lower paying salary. Right? So that's what you would pay them, right? Some people, let's say they have a very high paying job, right? They're big shot lawyers, they're making, you know, $1,000 an hour, charging at whatever, you know, by 6 minute increments, but they have no life. So you offer them a way out, right? You say, I'm gonna give you a job that's really gonna be momish 9 to 5 and you're gonna be able to see your family, right? But just know you're gonna get less money. Right, he says, that's fine, I'm sick of this, all I want is a job that'll, you know, get me home at 5 o'clock and put enough money on the plate. So that amount, right, that second job that he's willing to accept, right, that's called schar batala. Fine. Actually, the Shach does bring all four. V'yesh poskim mefarshim b'sharim robim malachta rishona kimoshu marviach b'shas habitala. Some say, no, it literally means you take his original job, and you figure out how much does he make at a time of batala, meaning kikon shu chayat v'darko litzvor begad b'sela b'fros haregel shamalacha meruba v'sharam yom tov v'bachos misela, right? How much does the guy take to do his job not during busy season, right? People have one rate during busy season and one rate during non-busy season. How much is he paid during non-busy season? That's four different positions the Shach brings. He's not machriya between them.
Between 2 and 3 is just... it's just getting paid to do no job or
no job or doing job? The yeah exactly right or agreeing to the difference between them.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was something to be at the ready. I don't know when I'm going to need you, but I want to
right. Call. Well, Scarborough does something like that. Like not do any job is presumably some sort of retainer, but
call.
Yeah. The exact nuances that are less important, but you see, there's many different positions for it. Okay. So that's possibility one. Then the Gemara says, okay, but why you have to tell me all these different cases, right? Because the Gemara gave several, the Mishnah gave several examples where you have to pay Kippol Batel. So the Gemara says, if it's the case of the store owner, I might have thought only the store owner, is it enough to pay him this minimal amount, because it's not such hard work. But if I gave him money to invest and to buy fruit, which is a harder job, I might have said he has to pay more than just this poel batel. And if I only taught that case, I might have thought that's the only case where I even need to pay him that much. But the store owner, in the case when it's an easy job, I might have to say I have to pay literally a minimal amount. Even I invite him over to eat and I let him dip into my hummus, right? That's enough, right? That enough is enough. That the basic standard is kipoel batel. Now, while the Gemara here rejects this position that you can't just say, look, I'll invite Jay over for a meal and he'll dip into hummus and that will be enough, the Gemara notes in the next line that Tanur Rabbanan Kamu Scharu Bein Meruba Bein Mu'ad Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir says one thing, but Rabbi Yehuda Amar Filu Tavel Imo Ela Betzir Lo Achal Imo Ela Grogargas Achazeu Scharu. There are positions that in fact take the more makil position. And say that, yeah, all you need to do is not get scharo batel, you need to just pay this minimal amount. Then the Gemara keeps going through this. Different people who hold different versions of this. And then, let me see if I get to it. Yeah, so if you skip down into the middle of the Gemara then introduces two other possibilities. One is... one is what's called Moser, I'll say it outside, Moser Shlish Schircha, which the Gemara has yet another machlokas about. Moser Shlish Bischarecha, according to Rashi, means that I offer Jay to be paid any profit above a third, meaning you get nothing, right, until, right, you get nothing extra, meaning up to a third profit, we split it equally, but above a third, you get 100%. That's Moser B'Shlesh Schircha. The Gemara understands it differently, but that's Rashi. The Gemara introduces yet another possibility that you have to pay a dinar. The Gemara introduces yet another possibility of, all the way at the end, of Rav Ilish, where the story goes as follows, if I can get it. The Gemara has the case of Rav Ilish. Where is it?
It's the last paragraph from the fourth line.
One, two, three, four lines. Okay, so the four lines from the last paragraph. The Gemara has a case of Rav Ilish, where Amar Rav, Rav Ilish gav a ra... before that. B'nei Rav Ilish navek alayu hai ushtara davek ksiv be palga ba'ak agar palga behefsid. There was a shtar iska that Ilish's children found that he had an agreement with, and now that, as we've said, is usur. So Amar Rav, Rav Ilish gav a rabba have, he said, no, he's a big Talmud Chacham, it can't be that he would have just made an agreement with Jay 50-50. That's usur. B'yisur lin shilavi safi. So manashach ipalga ba'agar trade tlisa behefset, ipalga behefset trade tlisa ba'agar. It must be that he'd made an agreement, either that Jay gets two-thirds either two-thirds of profit, but only suffers 50% of loss, or that he gets 50% of gains, but only suffers one-third of the loss. So when you take the whole Gemara at the conclusion, what you get is that you have different shittot and different possibilities, and what the Rishonim try to figure out is when do each of them apply. So the Gemara's basic assertion is that when you have a chatzi mil v'chatzi pikadon, I need to pay Jay something, right? The range is, under some circumstances, this two-thirds, one-half, or one-half, one-third deal. Sometimes it's charobata, whatever that means. Sometimes it's the dinar, sometimes it's even the minimal amount of allowing him to dip into hummus, and then the Gemara tries to figure out, right, what case is what, under when do we deal with, and that's what we're going to have to try to figure out. Now the basic question you have to ask before you get into the details, though, right, is the assumption of everybody, and you can see it in number 5 in the Rambam, but I won't read it inside. The Rambam says, and all the Rishonim say this, that it's avak ribis, right? If I don't come up with one of these payments, so then it's as if I'm taking avak ribis from Jay. All the Rishonim ask the question, okay, well, and all the Achronim ask the question, why is it that this is avak ribis? Why isn't this ribis d'oraisa? Right, in the end of the day, I lent Jay $500. I also gave him a pikadon for $500, but who cares? I gave him alva $500, and he gives me back $500 plus work, right? Why isn't that ribis ktutza?
It's my mom.
So what?
We said it a bunch of times.
No, but it's quantifiable. It's monetarily quantifiable, right? If I tell you, you have to give me back $500 and you have to work for me, that's ribis ktutza daraisa. What? So possibility one. Right, and this seems to be, I think, even though the Rishonim don't say it explicitly, the Nesiva Shalom thinks that this is the majority sheet in Rishonim, and I think he's probably right, and that's why the Rishonim actually never asked the question. And when I say the Rishonim asked the question, they don't really, they sort of imply it, they don't ask it explicitly. Rov the Rishonim never asked the question, and the reason seems to be what Pesach says. As we saw in the Radbaz before, right? Chatzi milva, chatzi pikadon is, according to Rov Rishonim, an imagination, right? This isn't a halva at all. It's a pikadon. It's an iska, right? It's a takana that it looks like a chatzi milva, chatzi pikadon. But the whole thing is an iska. The whole thing is derech mekach. The whole thing is an investment. It's not halva at all. Ad kidekach, that the position of the, I hope I put it here. I hope I put it here. I'm like changing the order as I go through it because it's such a complicated sugya. You always reevaluate how you do it. Is that Rove Rubo of I did 15 and 16? Okay, I'm going out of order, but whatever. You'll forgive me. Hopefully, conceptually, it'll be clearer this way. Rove Rishonim hold that not only is a chatzi milva chatzi pikadon, is it avak ribis? But even let's say I gave Jay $1,000 and said, "This is you have to give me back the full $1,000. It's an investment. It's not. It's an investment. You have to use it for investment. But it's halva, right? I mean, you have to give me back my full $1,000. But you're curtailed in your rights. You can only use it for investments." Rove Rishonim think that in that case, if I don't give Jay payment, it's still avak ribis. Even if it's kulo milve, it's still avak ribis. Why? Because even if I give him $1,000, the fact, and I say it's all a halva'ah, the fact that he's curtailed in what he can do with it, and it's not lo tsa'ah, it's not free for him to spend as he wants, is called an investment, not halva'ah, and therefore, even if I don't pay him, it's avak ribis. That's the position of all Rishonim except the Ritva. If you look at 15 and 16, I gave you the Tosfos and the Ramban. Now, Tosfos has a technicality for why this is true. Tosfos in Bechoro says, Mikol makom ribis derabbanan hi. The chayvan the shakolach rais on the kalbel milve he venotel chatz yashevach b'schar hal milve eld lovi ribis da raisa kevan dim lo yavo yashevach lo yitol klom kamo belo nechiyazashi ribis da rabbanan. He says as follows. He said, why is it ribis da rabbanan? Because even though it's true that he owes me the money, he has to give me back the halva. In the end of the day, I'm not guaranteed any money in return because if there are no profits, I get nothing. Right, and any profit that comes from the investment. And therefore, since it's not guaranteed and it's internal to the investment, so therefore it's not ribis d'oraisa. The Ramban and the Rajba seem to say more fundamentally. He says, Inami zuzi bikada ninu b'iska v'achrasai g'shamar sachar shamasin g'sholu b'schar mitzvah v'yavle me'alma vadi ribis d'oraisa. He said, look, if you'd given money from the outside, it'd be d'oraisa. Elami nayu behu dami lipikada and shikibu love son barzel. At the end of the day, even the money, which is a halva, is like a pikadum in Rabbanu v'yasmi l'gazra. The whole thing is a Rabban takana, right? The whole thing, it's not really a halva. And then Siva Shalom points out that this is the majority position in Rishon. The Ritva argues by kula milve, but that's the easiest way of understanding why this whole thing is only Rabbanan. There are other shitot, there are other shitot. So, for example, if you look at the Shardeya number 13, the Shardeya says that Bishlama Bishares Kalokashad Yeshlama de Kilo Chazal Kim Lavach Yitzarchlis Asik Avur Chelko Lekach Sage Afilu Bechol Shekain. The Shardeya says, no, you know why it's Ribis Derabanan? Because the Gemara, and this is a part of the Gemara we didn't actually read inside, but I'll tell you what it says now. The Gemara says that all the higher level obligations towards that I have towards Jay are only if Jay's only work is this investment. But let's say Jay is a stockbroker, right? He's already making investments, right? And he agrees that among those investments, he is going to take this chatzi milva chatzi pikadon from me. Then lekulei alma, I only need to pay him a token payment, right? According to everyone, I need to take a token payment. The Gemara's case is where I lend Jay an animal as a chatzi milva chatzi pikadon, but he's a shepherd, right? So he has 100, and you know he has 100 animals of his own, and he's feeding all of them. And one of the animals that he's feeding is the one that we split as a chatzi milva chatzi pikadon arrangement. The Gemara says, in such a case, so in that case, everyone agrees. I only need to pay a token payment. I only need to pay a dinar. Right? Why? Because because once I'm making food for my animals, who cares that I let another animal eat from the trough or eat from the field, right? It doesn't take that much energy, and therefore I can explain Jay can explain why he's willing to do this for me without being paid full salary, because it's not a big deal. The Shardaya said that's why every chatzi milva chatzi pikadon, if Jay works for me without being paid, it's only avak ribis. Because at the end of the day, half of it is a loan and half of it is an investment. And because he has to invest the component that is his loan, right, meaning that he's borrowing, so he's already doing the work on the investment. The fact that he does it on the half, which is an iska, is not such a big deal. And therefore, it's only avak ribis, not ribis dal raisa. What? Probably should be, but that's what it is.
Back to the Bar-Ilan just now, they have a kol shekein, but I think it's
a, I assume it's a typo.
Someone broke out the Russian tables.
Yeah, okay. I assume it's a kol shekein. It must be a kol shekein. Well, you know the word, meaning the people. Okay, very right. It's the same as Hebrew books, right? Yes, the people who type it in, right? It's the same thing, right? The a lot of these. Right. So in general, what happens is that they used to have people type up these things that understood the text, but they found that that took too long. Because if they had people type out the text who understood it, they ended up learning it. So they ended up training people who don't know Hebrew who don't understand Hebrew just to type it. So sometimes you get bizarre mistakes in things like Bar Ilan and, you know, OCR books and whatever, because, you know.
Hebrew books, they do know Hebrew. They're just not plumbed on it.
Right. So I think it was them who like hired people, like they outsourced it to like
one who just hired, they hired people and they told them your job is not to right, learn, and they got people
right,
who don't know.
Right. So one of them they'd hired like people in like the Philippines or something who mamish didn't know Hebrew. They like trained them to recognize it. Like there was some, I don't remember which one it was. There was some like whole cheshbon that like, okay, I don't remember. Someone told me this. I don't know which one it was, but the point is that they hire people who don't understand and aren't learning it. So sometimes you get bizarre things. I assume it's kosher. What? Yeah, exactly. Right. Okay. So that's possibility. That's possibility two. But again, I think, you know, Pesach's right. The majority position in Rishonim, and I think the Sefer Shalom is right, is that right. The reason is because it's not really a halva in the end of the day. Okay. Now the just a few points on it. If you look at number 6, I gave you the Ginas Vradim. The Ginas Vradim, I'll say this outside, just says that you can't get away with Shkar Tircha with a Ki'ilu. Right? Jay can't say, oh yeah, it's as if, I'm mochel it. You can't be mochel this, right? You can't pretend that you got it, because this isn't a monetary thing, it's an Isser thing. Right? If Jay forgives the Shkar Tircha, then I violated ribbis. And just like you can't forgive ribbis, you can't forgive ribbis derabbanan, and therefore, it's not like Jay can say, it's as if I took it, I mochel it. No, he must take it from me, right? I can give it to him, and he can give it back to me if he so chooses, right? But I need to actually pay him. That's point one. The Maritatz in 7 says what I think is eminently reasonable. He says that the only time I need to pay Shkar Tircha is if the arrangement between me and Jay is that he does all the work and the only thing I do is give him money, right? Because then I'm making money off of my money. But let's say Jay and I both work, but Jay works more than I do, right? Meaning the agreement between us is that I'll invest the $1,000 and I'll do 20% of the work, right? But Jay will do 80% of the work. So the Maritatz says, in such a case, I have to pay him nothing. Right? I have to pay him nothing. I said, why? Because he said, think about any partnership. Right? You have a partnership. Partners, you know, if they have a good working relationship, don't say to each other, oh, I did 55% of the work and you did 45% of the work. We're in this together. Right? And I whatever talents I have, I contribute to the partnership. Whatever talents you have, you contribute in the partnership. The only reason that there's an avak ribis problem here is if I give nothing to Jay. But if I work a little bit and he works a little bit more, since it's only an avak ribis problem to begin with, right? So at that point, I don't have to pay him anything because, you know, once we're both doing work, we don't have to start, you know, quibbling over how much work did I do, right? Once we're both doing any of the work, so then we can divide the money as is, as chatzi milvah, chatzi pikadon, with no shkar tircha. It's only when I do nothing that I owe the shkar tircha. Okay.
Even though in the Gemara, Lamadnu, if you give a job to a guy and then he like give you back and it's a little bit more.
Correct. Well, because in this case, right, because it's not, because it's really a shuta, right, really it's a shutfis, right, it's not really halva at all. It's an avak ribis problem in a something which isn't really halva. So once I'm doing some work, so I remove the mechzi, I move the avak component of it, right, either it was ribis daraisa, so you're right, it wouldn't solve it, because I'm still getting something from Jay, but it's only derabanan. The Rishonim and the Achronim then ask another question. Okay, let's say that I don't, let's say Jay doesn't pay me, right? I don't set up a Schar Tirch arrangement. So what exactly is it that is, what exactly is the ribis here? There's two possibilities. One is that the ribis is all the work that Jay then does not being paid. The other possibility is that the very fact that we made such an agreement means that our agreement in his agreement, sheyesh bo ribis, right? I mean, even before he works, the shtar is pasul me'ikara, the shtar is defined, right, as a shtar sheyesh bo ribis, and therefore the fact that I would pay him later doesn't necessarily help me. So that's a machlokes. The achronim think think it's the tircha, but the rush seems to think that it is the agreement itself. The nafka mina to that question is, well, if you asked me, might be the machlokes in the Gemara itself. Because if you look at it, right, remember in the Gemara, we saw that there were some positions who felt that in order to solve schar tircha, you need to really pay him, like, you know, basically, you need to pay him kishar, right? Like kisocher, you need to pay him like he's actually working or close to it, right? Other of them were much closer, like to, right, I just need to let him dip his food in my, you know, in my spread, and that's enough. Now, if you think that the ribis dirabanan is the work he's doing, so then I think the way to solve it should be closer to paying him as a worker. Right, because the problem is he's working for me without payment. In order to solve that, I need to pay him for his work. If you think the problem isn't that he's working for me, the problem is we made an agreement which technically, from a technical perspective, now has built into it ribis, but is a formal problem. The agreement was one in which I get back all my money plus work. All we need to do is change the formality of it and say that I get back my money, and I get his work not for free, I get his work for something. Right? It's a question of definitions. How do you view this agreement? If you view it as one where there's some sort of trade going on for his work, so then the ribis disappears. Again, on a derabanan level, the wouldn't work, but it's all derabanan. The other way of looking at it, which other achronim suggest, is that maybe the machlokes is, once we are mitaken schar tircha, is schar tircha a way of getting rid of ribis derabanan, or is the way that we get rid of the ribis derabanan is by establishing a quasi work relationship, right, employer employee relationship between me and Jay, right? If schar tircha is just a way of solving a derabanan nominal ribis problem, then I can solve it nominally. If, in order to avoid a ribis problem, instead of looking at Jay as my lovet, I look at Jay as my employee, so then the type of payment I have to give him has to be modeled more on the world of tircha, the world of employment, rather than be modeled on the world of nominal ribis problems, and therefore you're going to approach the more fundamental positions. And I think that may explain the machlokas in the Gemara, but it also explains certain machlokas that we have, lehalacha, which, as we'll see as we go through, there are machlokot. What happens if you didn't set the schar tircha in advance? Are you allowed to come up with a schar tircha later on? Or, if we didn't set up a schar tircha arrangement at the beginning, then, right, the whole deal is pasul me'ikara, and I can't get away with anything. I have to pay him his actual full salary, not any of these symbolic ones. I need to figure out how much does a stockbroker make and pay him his full salary, none of these nominal salaries. Why? Because if I didn't set it up in advance, so now his work is all real ribbis. I don't deserve anything, and therefore I have to pay him his full salary. I can't use one of these nominal things. The nominal things only work if I do it in advance. But if I don't do it in advance, then we'll see, that's a machlokes in poskim.
We can consider achrayut for a salary.
So this is one of the possibilities that is raised in poskim is can I solve the problem by setting up achrayos, right, where I take responsibility. The Rishonim, like we can't get through everything today, so that was one of the things I left out was but there's a big machlok Rishonim is could I do it. Some Rishonim think you can, but it's a machlok is if I do, how much achrayos do I have to accept? Right, because normally by alva, the lova has full responsibility. So what if the malva accepts own sin? Is that enough? So some rishonim say yes, most rishonim say no. But what if I accept gneva vaveda, let's say? Right, I say this is a halva, but normally you would be a chayav 100%, but I'm accepting gneva vaveda. Many rishonim say that's fine, right? Because I'm giving him a loan with minimal liability, right? That's a big boon. People would pay for a minimal liability loan. If I grant him that, then that does count. Okay. So now we have like 20 minutes left. So I'm going to skip now. And just know that I'm skipping a lot of issues here, which should be clear. This sugya is extremely complicated, but I wanted to set out more the fundamentals here. Let's just look at Shulchan Aruch, right? Let's just see what comes out lahalacha. Shulchan Aruch in number 20. Hanosin Moos Lachaveru Batoris. Iska Dahainu Shachatzi Achrayas Alanosin Vachatzi Amlokabel Osir. Right? We can't just set a 50-50. Should call Iska Palga Milva Palga Pikadon Vinimsa Shatorach Bechila Kapikadon Shulchela Kamalve. Right? If he works without me paying him, that's ribbis. Fich Torach Lolitan Schartir Chodesh Bechol Yom Vyom Bimei Ashutve. So I'm just going to follow Shulchan Aruch's presentation of this, but know that everything here is Talib Machlokes. But this is the conclusion. With all those different things, how do we work out all those different payments? This is how Shulchan Aruch does it. Lefichach, now, I'll just tell you, I'm following in this both the Nesiv HaShalom and the Bris Yehuda. Both of them have the following line, almost identical, which is, Ha'achronim, I think I'm quoting almost verbatim from the Bris Yehuda, Ha'achronim he'irichu b'peirusho shel ha'rambam v'shel ha'tur, u'lekol peirush yesh t'chakim harbei, Velo nagati ella bimasha yalacha lemaase. Right? Trying to figure out what everybody holds on this is near impossible. Every time you read the Rambam, you're convinced he's saying something different. Same with the tour. So I'm just going to understand it the way Shulchan Aruch understands it, which is how we paskin, basically. So he says, Lefichach tzarech lo litein schar tirchshu b'chol yom v'yom v'meshu tofus kipol batel shos malacha shel batel mimena. Option one is, you have to pay him his work per day, right? Of a schar batel, of a schar batala, which we already defined in four different ways. Im hayelo esek acher, if he has another job, koshulis asek bo im maosiv shel ze, eino tzarech lalos lo schar shel kol v'yom elafila lo dinar b'chol yimei ashu tafos dayo. If he has another job, and therefore it's not such a big deal, he's already making investments, so therefore I only have to pay him a symbolic payment of a dinar, and I'm not going to read this inside. I'll give it away to you now. There's a machlokas achronim, as you might well guess. When it says dinar, does it mean dinar literally, or does it just mean a symbolic payment? Some of the achronim think it means literally a dinar. Other achronim say it doesn't mean any dinar. Then there's a secondary machlokas, which is if it's not a dinar, does it at least have to be a shavat pruta? So you would think it has to be a shavah pruta, but no one less than the Nesivos thinks that no, not only does it not have to be a dinar, it doesn't even have to be a shavah pruta. And that is also the position of the Minchas Pitim. But that's if he has another job. And then beyond that, right, it goes to the middle. And I could tell him that any profit above a third is yours, or over a tenth, whatever. That works as well. Vim hifsid, yafsid, the mechta, but the losses will be split. Vim hayim es asik ariso, v'hayala isik acher. This is another thing that comes up in a Gemara. If Jay happened to already be my aris, he was my employee otherwise. Einu tzarach lahalos lo schar acher. I have to pay him nothing. Klal sha'ariz meshubet hu lebal sadeh. Because sharecroppers tend to already owe their employers something, and therefore they're willing to do work for them for free. I don't know if this is true, but okay, fine. And the Ramah says, v'tzarech liyos kol achrayas palgal pikadon la'anosin afilo achrayas da'onsin. Just to clarify, half of the achrayas on the pikadon, right? All the achrayas on the half, which is a pikadon, has to be on my shoulders, even onsin. Right, I need to accept full achrayas for the pikadon, or this doesn't work. Sif gimel medvar mamurim. This is only if kishelo pasak imo betchilas haesek. All that discussion in the Gemara about paying geschar batel is if we didn't make an agreement at the beginning. Ela nosin lamos geschar. Aval pasak imo betchilas haesek geschar tircho bedavar yadua. But if Jay and I made an agreement at the beginning, then even if he doesn't have a job, even if he isn't my worker otherwise, afilu bedinar mutter, then I can always get away with a dinar. And the Ramah says, v'kol ze kishe'echad nosin ha'malos, v'kol echad nosin ha'malos, afilu echad mesasik levad, in kan iska leve shavos ba'alma. But this is only if I'm the only one putting in money. If we both put in money, then I don't need schar tirch at all. Sif dalid, ha'nosin ha'malos l'chaver stamlis, asik b'hem v'lom b'asik imo betchilas esik davar l'schar tircho. If we made an arrangement at the beginning, and we didn't dictate how much money I'm going to give. Ukshubau lecheshbon lo ratz alitnan lo schar kol yom v'yom mimeh shutafus. And when we get to the time of payment, I don't want to pay Jay schar tircha. I don't want to pay him schar batala. I don't want to pay him for every day. V'imayelo esik lo ratz alitnan lo dinar lo chol yom v'yom shutafus. Nor do I want to pay him a dinar for every day. So I do have another option up my sleeve, which is yeschar misasik b'chatzi pikadon shlish revach pikadon shushtos revach kol amos. I can give him 2/3 of the profit on the pikadon, which comes out to 1/6 of the profit on the entire money. Right? We got that math? Right?
Shlish.
Exactly. Right? A third of the profit.
A third of half.
Right? A third of half. Right? That 1/6. Meaning I can pay him 1/6 extra of profit. That's what it comes out to. Right?
Sounds like a no.
What? Yeah, exactly, right? It just happens to be the number. Lefichach im hirvichu. So therefore, if there is profit, yitol misasek shnei shlishei harevach, and therefore what will come out is that Jay will take 2/3 of the total profit, because he was already entitled to half the profit from the half, which is a milveh, plus 1/6 of the total, which was 1/3 of the pikadon, which turns out to half plus 1/6, which is 4/6, which is 2/3 of the profit go to Jay. Simple mathematics. Baruch Hashem. Okay. This is how we should teach kids fractions, right? We should introduce them in third grade to the sugya of schar tircha, introduce them to this concept so that by the time they get to my age, it won't be complicated. I don't understand a word I'm saying, but they will understand this. No, I'm joking, but only half joking. And they'll know fractions really, really well. And I'll get a third. But if there's a loss, I will get a third. I'll take accept a third of the loss. Shari uchayev v'chatzia pchas v'chatzia maos mil v'vishlo shtutz b'scharo ba'ozo chatzia shavagadon nimtza shenisha alav me'apchas shlisho ba'almozit yafsid shnei shlishe apchas, right? Which is I accept to give him 2/3 of the gain if there's a gain, and if there's a loss, I accept 2/3 of the loss by the exact same cheshbon, right? Where I accept my 50% of the loss plus 2/3 of the loss from his side of it, which turns into, right, a third, right, 1/6 of the whole thing, right? Added to my F, which comes out to 2/3 of, right? So, meaning, if we didn't make an agreement, so then at the end, if there was a profit, I give him 2/3, meaning I pay him 1/6 extra. Right, and if there's a loss, I accept an extra 1/6 on myself. But I still pay him. But he still gets his half. Right, but the half money.
Right,
meaning I'm still paying him essentially. Right, I'm paying him the 1/6 that he doesn't have to pay me back. Right, and that's what it comes out. Fine. But Siv Chav Hei says as follows: But im kosev bishtar palga ba'agar vehefsed. But what happens if not only do I say we have a chatzi milva chatzi begodon, I actually said 50-50. Right, imanosin o makabel adam gadol v'yadua shelo haya ose iser ribis So now it doesn't just say it's an iska. I actually specify 50-50 is going to be the consequence here, which looks like ribis. So if he's a talmud, if I'm a talmud chacham, and you can gauge for yourself whether you think I fit this category, right? So if I am, so then donazol leheter lomar im yitol chatzia revach sheyakabel av shnei chalakim b'achrayas and lo yikabel av el chatzia chrayas shelo yitol el shlish revach. So then we work out this 2/3, 1/3 agreement thing. There is a machlok as we shown him whether right whether it's equal to do the 2/3, 1/2, 1/2, 2/3 whatever, but right that's how we set it up. I will be inish achrina the lowest is chazib gach, but a non tamen chacham dainin l'shtara kipashte v'havale shtar sheish baribis. We say no, you never meant to do this. This is a shtar sheish baribis. V'miyesh v'hefsed yafsed achetzi kifita na'o. And therefore, what happens is the loss. We lose as we agreed. V'miyesh barevach lo yikabel klum. But I get literally no profit. It goes completely to J because a single penny that I would take would be ribis. And the Rosh says, right, this is what it's quoted from, because the whole thing was Be'isr, and that was what I said before, right, is that, you see in the Rosh that his feeling is that the reason, the ribis here isn't what he works for me. The ribis was, it poisoned the arrangement, right? If the arrangement didn't stipulate schar tircha, the whole arrangement is poisoned, and therefore, right, I can never accept any profit, because any profit would memela become ribis, and that's the position of the Rosh, and that's what's nifsak in Shulchan Aruch. The Shach says, ve'ein lomar yitin lo schar kapal batel. The Shach asks the implicit question, which is, wait a second, I don't understand, what's the difference between Sif Chafei and Sif Beis and Dalid? Right, Sif Chavhei says that in a case where there's no prearranged agreement, so then a Talmud Chacham can get away with it with a 2/3, 1/2 arrangement, but a regular person can't take a penny. In Siv Beis and Dalid, we said, no, there is a possibility, which is, I pay him like an actual stockbroker every day of the... Sorry, I pay him like a Schar Batel. I just pay him daily. Right? Why don't I just say, okay, I'll pay you daily? So he says, no, Tishaini Hacha, the Kasa Bishtar, Mechzi Tveki Ribis. He says, it depends on how the star looks. If the star says, this is an Iska, and it's ambiguous, so then we let you get away with it with Kippo al Batel. If the star is unambiguously usher looking, meaning it says, at the end of this, J will get 50% and I will get 50%, so that's not ambiguous. It doesn't just say it's an iska. It looks like ribis. So then if you're a Talmud Chacham, we let you out. If not, right?
His objection, it sounds like, is not how it's done in the shtar, but the fact that there is
a shtar. Oh, sorry, you're right. He says it, you're right. The Shach says, no, the difference is shtar at all. Right? Is that that Beis and Dalid where there's no shtar, and that's why it's ambiguous. When it is bishtar, it is unambiguous. Right? Therefore, if you're a Talmud Chacham, we give you the benefit of the doubt, even when it's unambiguously usher looking. If you're not a Talmud Chacham, right, you only get the benefit of the doubt when it's ambiguous, right? But if there's a shtar, and therefore it looks unambiguously usher, so then you get absolutely nothing. Okay. Now, what exactly is this arrangement in the Talmud Chacham, the 2/3, 1/3? So I gave you the Shach. I don't want to get into that too much, but there is a machlokas rishonim. He notes that the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that the Stam agreement is the 2/3 profit to Jay. Aval apozgin aveid lekaman lokeach makabel shnei shlishi arevach afil misham lo chatzi hefsed mutter imkein afil ein lo ezek acher. Sorry, that's a... You know what? We only have 10 minutes. I'm not going to get into this complexity. I can't do it. But just know there's a lot of complexity in figuring out this exact math, and I'm sorry that I have to skip through it. Okay. Now, in the last 10 minutes, what if this is halacha l'maisa? Right? I still haven't gotten through all the details, but what if this is halacha l'maisa? So the answer is almost none of it is halacha l'maisa at all. Why? Because no one ever asked you an iska question, right? You're never going to get an iska question, right? No one's ever going to get an iska question. It doesn't happen. What are you going to get? You're going to get a heter iska question, right? You're going to ask, okay, with all this background, all the different payments and all the different possibilities and 2/3, 1/3, schar kipol, batel, and dinar, and this and that and the other thing, right? The only time we ever set up an iska is when it's fictitious, right? Not fictitious. I shouldn't say fictitious, you know. Where it's a heter iska, let's just say that, right? Where it's a heter iska, where we're not doing it because this is the investment arrangement, is because we're doing a heter iska, however you look at the heter iska. So how do we do this in a heter iska? So if you look at 25, the Shar Deya says as follows. It says, Ayin shach shehela dehadetzarach kan dafka sheis lo esek acher hu dafka belo hisna mitchilo kach nami bein lo esek acher lo sagi bediner. Aval behisna mitchilo likach beatzchar tircha ofilo diner echad o moser shlisho asiris yeh bescharcha dehainu mashe yeh revach yoser mechelek shlisho asiris shal esek yeh bescharcha muter afshein lo esek acher. The Shach paskins that all these chumras are only when we didn't stipulate meikara. But if we stipulate meikara, so I can give a nominal amount. Umizet nearly smach gadol min agenu b'shtari isko shalonu shemalvan outside heder iska v'kozin shemnitin lo asar lemeya yipater min iska vein medaktiken achshavim nosin lo schar amalo. And therefore he says, nowadays, what do? We stipulate that if you make it past a certain profit margin, so then you will get all the profit. Elamai, we never work out the profit. What do? We set Dmehid Pashrut. We say that when it comes time to divide, instead of Jay dividing, if he can't take a neder and tell me that X amount of money was made, so we just stipulate that it's 10%, right? So the Shar Deya says, well, wait a second. If that's the case, so in a heter iska, you don't need schar amala. Because what are we saying? If there's more than 30% profit, so then Jay will get to keep everything beyond the 30%. But realistically, what's going to happen? Jay's going to come to me and I say, I just want 10%. You can keep everything beyond 10%. I'm going to stipulate it that you made a 10% profit, right? Or 20% profit, and therefore I'm taking 10% profit total. That's all I want. The rest of it is all yours, right? I don't care how much money you made. Just give me my minimal cut. So the Shar Deya says, so in a heter iska, you don't need schar amala at all. You don't need schar tirch at all. Because what is a heter iska if not a case where I stipulate with a J that I want my half of the first 20% of profit, meaning the first 10% of profit of the whole deal. And beyond that, you know, if you can't prove how much money there was, so gesunte hate, you can keep whatever it is, give me mine, and I won't ask you any questions, I won't ask you to prove it, I'll assume that's how much money you made, that's what a heter iska is. So that's the position of the Shar Deya, that l'halacha l'maisa, in a heter iska, you don't need schar tircha. However, he notes that amnam ra'isi b'kuntra shel asma. Vehevi Arab Bal Nachla Shiva Shehevi is a Bishem Yish Nogin knows Nabrela Makabal or Shidin Lochati Revel Asar Lameya Vehezekal Vasma the Muzer Shlosh Bizkarcha the Asar the Imlo the Asar Laesek Acher Zeuli Fashta Sugya etc. He says, but that's not true. If you look in the actual kuntras of the Sma with the original Heter Iska, there were all types of stipulations for the Heter Iska, for Schar Amala. And Halacha Lameis, the Poskim say, no. We don't paskin like the Shar Deya. We paskin that you do need to put in schar tircha. You always need schar tircha. Elamai. We paskin like Shulchan Aruch that A, this is yesh lo iska acher, and B, it's mefarish, right? Because we stipulate it meikara, and most people that hit the risk have another job. And even though there is a machlokes in the poskim, whether when we say another job, it means another investment job, right? Or another job at all. We take the more makil position and say, as long as he has any other job, and this is just a side job, he's willing to take any payment. So as long as I'm mifarish, as long as I stipulate meikara, and he has any other job, I'm allowed to set any nominal amount. And therefore, lemaisa, if you look at pretty much any heter iska, what it will do is it will stipulate in it that we are being mifarish, Jay has another job, and therefore I only need to set it at a nominal amount. We tend to be machmir, like the position of the Beis David and the Achronim with him. We tend to be halacha l'maisa. The poskim are actually makel. You don't need a dinar mamish, but we end up putting in a dinar in most of these heter iskas. Anyways, how much is a dinar? Right? How much is this dinar? If you want to be machmir and you want to put a dinar in the heter iska, how much is it? So I gave you a number 30. It's really not that much. A dinar is 4.8 grams of silver. So when Rai Reisman wrote the book, he said that the price of silver was such that it's about a sixth of an ounce of silver, right? An ounce has 31.1 grams of silver, so it's about a sixth of it. So he claims that heteriska, you only have to put in a dollar, because the price of silver, when he looked it up, was such that a dollar would cover a dinar. I looked it up. As of yesterday, the price of silver was $20.98 Canadian for an ounce of silver, which would set Schar Tirch at about $3, right? So Sach HaKol, if you want to be Machmir, and you want to be Yotze L'Kol Hadeos, you need to write in a Heter Iska $3, right, of Schar Mala? What?
It's always quoted in the U.S., not in Canada.
$3 American. Okay, so $7 Canadian, whatever it is. No, I know. The Canadian dollar strengthened. I got it. Fine. So really, if you want to be the most machmir, put in $3 and you'll be fine. Alternatively, there are all types of different things that come up. I gave you in 33, Rabbi Bleich's suggestion is a dollar per month. A dollar per month will clearly cover you. By the end of it, will cover you more than a dinar. Another alternative is to say, instead of me giving Jay $3 or $5 or a dollar a month, is to say that I will, instead of dividing the profit 50-50, will paskin like the Rambam. The Rambam thinks that two-thirds, one-third is only an example, but any deal we come up with works. His Rebbeim thought that's not true. The Rabbos of the Rambam think that if you're making a percentage deal, it always needs to be this two-third, one-third agreement, but the Rambam thinks that's not true. The Rambam thinks as long as we make an agreement, meikara, we can set the agreement at whatever we want, and therefore Rabbi Reisman said, if you want, another suggestion would be for me to write in the Heter Iska that J gets 55% of the total profit, and that 5% profit is his salary, whatever it comes out to be. In regular Heter Iskas, you should know, it stipulates a dollar or $3 or $5 or $10. The only types of Heter Iskas that use the percentage ones are Heter Iska Klali. Right? When banks make a Heter Iska, they don't say that the bank gets $5 for the tircha, because their svara is as follows, right? Their svara is that there are so many payments that you pay to the bank, right? You know, it's just too much to try to figure out, my schar tircha is this, blah, 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 blah. So we actually come up with percentages. In Heter Iska Klali, you do find percentages. I gave you the Bank Poalei Agudat Yisrael's the Heter Iska, which I can't quite figure out what's going on there. But I gave it to you. But in most of these, that is what we do. We put a Heter Iska Klali. There is a Machlokas Achronim, whether you are allowed to stipulate that the Demei Hitbashrut, as we already mentioned, will just include it. The Shardeya, as we said yes. The reason that we don't do that Lamaisa is because the Chachmas Adam said that is Usur. You actually need to stipulate Schar Tircha, and that is why, if you look, Halach Lamaisa, we'll end with this, even though, like I said, there's much that we haven't done in this, most personal Heter Iskas will include some sort of stipulation that Schar Tircha is approximated at, you know, is set at $5 for the length of the agreement, or a dollar a month, or we'll put some dollar amount on it. Most Heter Iska Klalis, because it's so much more complicated and they're dealing with all types of different loans and the bank has a million different loans going on with the same person at every given time, we'll set it at a percentage, right, of the investment, which ends up being a percentage not of non-interest in the loans, and that's practically what happens. I gave you an example. You can look at what it looks like. I gave you a few examples of Heter Iskas, but that Halach L'maisa is how we get from Schar Tircha to Schar Amala, that we have in our Heter Iskas. Igmar Chasimato.